It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
That's new.
That's weird. Now I have to, like, I've got to let it know I want to continue.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was a...
Oh! I just, did you hear the lady?
Yeah, and then a little window popped up and I had to say, yeah, I'm okay to continue.
That's probably a security setting that I could change.
They probably heard you last time threatening to record me without my knowledge.
No, I specifically said I would not do that.
But they know you're a liar, so that's why.
Speaking of, we're on for pancakes next week, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Just checking. Because, yeah, I might have some debts I got to take care of. So, I like Tignataro. Actor, comedian, writer, general creative, Tignataro.
She's in that new Snyder movie?
She is. She is, in fact. And I've liked her for a long time. I've liked her back when she just went as Tig and had a half hour Comedy Central special a long time ago. I have seen her live once. I would have seen her twice, but COVID canceled it. I enjoy her quite a bit. I want her to make more stuff. She's a good comedian. She's a good actor. I like the stuff she comes up with. Everything I have seen indicates that she's a cool person. I love her. She's way up there. I don't know that she's in like the top scant handful of like my favorite comedians of all time or my favorite actors of all time, but she's up there. She's up there. The people who are my favorite just few actors and comedians of all time, I do not love as much as the entire internet appears to love Tig now. Like, people are losing their minds. And I kind of don't get it. She was the best part of that movie. That is not saying much. And even then, it was like 5 minutes worth of the movie that she was in. It's very, very weird. Everybody's just, I mean, fucking Penny Arcade, the white guy video game comic strip online, did a comic strip based around the idea that now that we know we have the ability to put her into movies after they filmed, that it's bullshit that she doesn't play every character in every movie that comes out. And I understand there's hyperbole there, but I'm just like, I thought I really, really liked her, but not like most of the internet, apparently.
Wow, interesting.
So, yeah, but I still like her a lot. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that was like gonna dedicate this episode to my dead father, because I was like, you know, I don't have anything else really to dedicate to him, and people are always doing that kind of shit, so I was like, maybe I'll do this. But then I was like, well, what's this episode going to be about? And I was like, I don't know. And so then I was like, you know, maybe don't, just in case it happens to be about shit like you would hate or something, or just a bad episode, like that's not a good one to dedicate, so don't do that. So not doing that. I'm Tony,
and I'm William, and this is episode 532, which Tony just had to tell me because I was
gonna say, I absolutely believe you paused before saying that word just to make my blood pressure spike for like a half second. I'm like, you had one job and I did it for you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was late.
And you were late.
I was too. Well, as I explained to Tony, my routine was interrupted by contact from a relative who I hadn't heard from in a while, but also I was working on school stuff. And right now, the class is about human development, which I've been interested in pretty much my whole life. So I get pretty interested in what they're saying, and I especially get engrossed when I think what they're saying is not entirely fleshed out, or even like if I feel like it's wrong. So in this case, it's I'm really confused by something they're saying, or they seem to be contradicting themselves on what the research says, and I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around it.
Did you have these situations in your undergrad?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Okay. So,
yeah. Why did you ask?
Because something about it, because, well, first of all, at least for me, this is the second time you've brought up this concept, like this kind of specific one, in this class. And there's a, like, I'm not surprised, and I'm not, I mean, I can't say if you're confused or if they're wrong or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised if they were wrong. But it also strikes me as like this is one of those things that just happens to William. and it's actually Trish and I were talking about this phenomenon just the other day, that I think is best typified by a person I used to work with who shall remain nameless for this, who would always have printer troubles. And would come to me because I was kind of support for that. And I would fix them. And there was never a thing where like, oh, you did this wrong, that's why this happened. Like, there was never anything that was like definitively their fault. But at the same time, I was like, this only seems to happen with you. And I'm like, I causation is not, you know, correlation and causation are not the same thing, but I'm like, and so, but I wondered, because if you had said, actually, my undergrad wasn't like this at all, I would be like, oh, but yeah,
yeah, it was.
I don't know what it is. I think I've experienced this firsthand with you before, and I don't know. I think your granularity of analysis is a finer grain than maybe the world.
Well,
and so like, you're not wrong in these situations often. Sometimes you are. Sometimes. But like, also no one else cares.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times it's like, nobody cares.
And it's super tricky because you're like, why is it like this? And we're like, I mean, it is, you're right, but can we move on? It's I guess you win, but none of us want to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's not about winning anything. It's just, I mean, if I'm confused about something, I'm genuinely confused. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just trying to get it clear in my own head. Because the thing is, I've experienced this my whole life. When I was a little kid, even, for example, I had to learn how to tell time and how to count money differently than everybody else I knew. Everybody else learned how to do those things according to the lessons that were taught in school. They knew how to do it, but I didn't. And so I was sort of behind everybody for a long time in those two skills because I didn't understand how it was being taught. I eventually had to figure it out on my own. Like, I kind of remember when I thought, oh, this is how this works.
And have you ever been tested for any sort of neuroatypical tendencies? Mm-mm. ADHD or any dyslexia, any of that jazz? Mm-mm. Just, I think it's possible that some tests like that could result in something.
It's possible.
You definitely think different.
Well, I mean, at least, I mean, again, going back to like third grade, or is around the time I was noticing, I mean, I checked, every single other kid understood this concept but me. And the way I finally figured it out was, and also multiplication, everyone else was like breezing through multiplication tables, and I just couldn't even understand what multiplication even meant. And what opened it up for me was I figured it out linguistically. You know, like 3 times 5 means 5 3 times. Mm-hmm. Right. So then I realized, oh, money's the same way. You know, it's like a quarter is, you know, literally 1/4. You know, all this stuff that everyone else had already figured out based on whatever lessons they'd given kids, I had to sort of, I figured out first, like I said, linguistically what multiplication meant, and then I could sort of reverse engineer back all of the stuff I didn't quite understand about counting money and telling time. You know, time was, oh, it's 12 times 5 is 60. You see what I'm saying? And I figured all that out, and that's how I finally learned how to do those things. But you know, they didn't teach it like that in school. They didn't teach it. I mean, I don't know how they taught it, but all the other kids understood it and I didn't. So I haven't really had issues like that since then. But as you've just pointed out, I have had issues with other things like this thing that I'm reading.
From an analytical perspective, you very commonly, and from a basic motivational perspective of others, like easily 60% of the conversations I've ever had with you are you saying, why are people doing this? Because it doesn't make sense that they would do that. And in every single case, like, and you know, Gaia's Feast had to work really hard how to explain things to you, because all we just kept saying is people are stupid, William, which wasn't a good answer.
No.
Like in every case, it's like, no, you clearly understand the situation. And also, you're not wrong, but you also don't get, because it was always things that, like, to the rest of us are like, yeah, no, that's how people are. And you're like, but why would people be that way? And we're like, I don't know, they just are. So yeah, I wonder if there's a thing in there, if there's some sort of neuroatypical thing going on. And if there is, and you found it, you can find all sorts of helpful things. There's a comedian I know in the UK who just, and she's a little bit younger than me, but she's like in her 40s now, I think, just finally got her ADHD diagnosis and like changing her world dramatically.
Well, when I watch home movies of me as an infant, my behavior, my infant behavior seems odd to me. I mean, it always has. Whenever I've watched it, I thought, why am I behaving like that? It just seems really like strange behavior for an infant.
I'm watching a lot of documentaries.
No. I just seem very, I mean, every time the camera is on, well, it might be in contrast. Okay, so my brother is almost exactly a year older than me, right? So you can get in all of the home movies where I'm like only a few months old, you can see this vast developmental difference, right? Because he's running around, he's dancing, he's doing all this stuff. And of course I'm just sitting, you know, I'm barely able to sit up.
Yeah.
But even, so there's a contrast there, but even in that situation, I move as an infant, I moved so slowly. Like whenever I moved, you know, my head was just like moving like this, or I'd see my foot. You know how kids sometimes reach for their foot and they're fascinated with their foot. I'd reach for it, but it'd be like, reaching for it really slow. And there's one where we're outside. I think we're at the, I think we're in Mount Rushmore, and we're there, and it's sort of, it's not, I don't know if it's winter or if it's late fall or whatever, but they have these picnic tables or like recreation tables that are supposed to have umbrellas on them, but this is the time of year where they don't have them on. So there's just a metal pole sticking up out of it. So mom has me sitting on the table, and you see me sort of gradually and very slowly, I open my mouth and I just like put my mouth on it. But it's like, you know, I've seen kids do this kind of behavior, and it's usually, I don't know, it usually doesn't look so lethargic. I look very lethargic as a baby. And also mom said that when I was first came home from the hospital, I cried a lot. Like Scott didn't, he was very quiet when they brought him home, and I cried and cried and cried. And I was one of those kids that has for a very long time can't sleep at night because he's crying all the time. And so these are all things that today someone might look at this behavior and go, something's not right with that kid. But no, I've never had anything, never had any tests of any kind or whatever. I've just,
you might want to look into it, because otherwise I'm just going to start armchair diagnosing all over the place. And it's going to be so much worse for everyone involved.
Well, I don't even know what it would be. I mean, I don't have dyslexia, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ADHD. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I like using neurotypical because I don't know enough nowadays to be able to. I mean, it literally could be a mild form of autism.
I mean, that's possible. I mean,
there's having listened to autistic people talk about autism, the big factor across the board seems to be, I look at the world and see it differently than everybody else and sort of need a different tool set on how to interact with it.
Mm.
And you seem to interact okay, but you always seem like you do it by rote. You're like, you seem confused about why things work the way they do. And I mean, that fits in that same line. And I mean, you're 50 and you've clearly survived fine. And like, I don't think you're like, he can't take care of himself or whatever. But if it turned out there was something, and therefore then there were resources at your disposal, you might suddenly find life easier and making more sense. And
right,
like
right. Yep. And I could really use that for sure, especially starting school again.
As your podcast partner, I could really use that as well.
Well, but starting school again, you know, there might be little psychological tricks I can use that would make that easier.
And to say nothing of if you're going into being a therapist.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And again, I have no qualifications. And in general, I prefer to make fun of you. So I don't know that this is true. But I'm like, if you got health insurance, you know, check it out.
Well, it's kind of interesting when you read these developmental theories. And again, I've been interested in this kind of thing my whole life. So there's nothing really here that's new to me or
surprising. You mean after you got out of pole licking? Like that was your focus right. For a while.
No, I mean, like, I remember times as a kid, like noting how adults would interact with kids and thinking to myself, yeah, when I'm a parent, I'm not going to do that because I can see that this parent doesn't understand what this kid is going through. I mean, I remember moments like that in my childhood. And then, you know, I took a child development class in high school and I took it very seriously. And I wrote a paper about toys and how important toys are to developing children and stuff. I mean, all this stuff has always been important to me. And of course, when I raised...
Did they adapt it into that Robin Williams movie of the same name?
No. And then when I had three kids, you know, to raise myself, I was very attentive to that process. And so this is all very interesting to me, but it going over it now, the age I am and having the experiences that I've had, and also, getting some feedback from other people more recently, well, like you're talking to me right now about, like, have you ever considered that, you know, there might be an issue here? I am kind of applying this, some of this knowledge, some of it that I knew before, and some of it's new to even to myself, and not just how I parented, but how I experienced things as I was growing up. And I start to think, you know, because, you know, there's some things about child development, obviously, that are very new and recent that I couldn't have, you know, known about until the last 5 or 6 years. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how that fits in with my experience.
So a couple of weeks ago when we saw the friends in person that had had the baby during quarantine, we were talking about that at dinner. And I'm like, yeah, so you're putting her to bed. Which one is it now? Which direction do you put her? Because if you put her the other one, she dies. Because I know for a while it was on her back and then it was on her stomach. And I can't remember where it is now. And they told me, apparently it's on the back. You want the kid on the back. I realized afterwards, because like that's a real thing. Genuinely speaking, modern mainstream baby science decided that putting them one way was a danger of killing them and the other way was correct. And at some point decided that the opposite was true, at least once, if not more than once. So it's a fair commentary on my part. On the other hand, as they responded sort of grimly about it, I realized, yeah, maybe don't remind the first time parents of the 8 month old that whatever the hell they're doing now just got made up a few years ago. And before then, they thought it would kill the kid. So I'm a horrible person, is my point there. Which may be how this turns out as well. So we'll see. For those of you just joining us, get a real therapist. Don't rely on us for this. Our whole deal is that we have a hat, and it's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people who have never heard of the McElroy brothers, write into us with questions, comments, topics, things like that, little notes, to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with that stuff. And the hat on its own magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. It's possibly neuroatypical, but we haven't been tested yet, so we don't know. Servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show except for parts that aren't, which is absolutely the lion's share of it. You know what I learned this week?
Please tell me.
You familiar with the concept of blowing a raspberry?
Yep.
Do you know why it's called blowing a raspberry?
I have forgotten. I think I did know once, but I don't remember.
I do. That's what I learned.
Tell me.
No, I just wanted you to know. I know it. No, it is, as with so many things out there, and I love this, it's Cockney rhyming slang.
Oh, man, I don't know if I did know that.
Raspberry tart fart.
Oh. You know what? I did not know that. I'm sure I didn't know that.
I fucking love Cockney rhyming slang. It's the most insane linguistic thing ever invented. It makes no sense that it exists, but it's great.
I think I probably heard a different explanation, and it's probably wrong.
Well, and to be fair, mine was from a tweet from a British comedian who had just found it out themselves. So could be a lie, but it actually tracks pretty well with how Cockney rhyming slang shit comes up. So,
I mean, sure. Yeah. You're right.
I love rhyming slang. It's because in most cases, you don't even say the part that rhymes. And I love that. Yeah. Is you're like, this word, So there's one, I've heard this before, and this has shown up a few places, a burk, to call someone a burk. And you know, it's like, you dumbass or whatever. No, it actually means the C word.
Oh.
Because it's actually Cockney rhyming slang, Berkeley Hunt.
Wow.
There you go. But I'm like, so it's nowhere near it. And I love that. And again, like, who's the guy? Somewhere in London, you know, 300 years ago who's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just fucking come up with rhymes. And then the words nearby those rhymes, that's what we're going to use instead. And sometimes it's the thing that Stu, one time, I told him, I sent him a message at work that there were cupcakes over in this one area. And he said he was going to go half inch one, which is half inch pinch. So sometimes with the rhyme, but often it's not. And I just love, I adore that stuff. What'd you do this week?
Well, aside from school, which I could continuously talk about, we are watching the Conjuring Universe films to get ready for the Conjuring 3.
Devil totally got in my DMs and was like, you should do this.
Devil totally got in my DMs. That's a good one. I like
that. Yeah. I'm actually incredibly bothered about this one.
Oh, why?
Because as near as I can tell, this has the what's their chops in a legal case. I've lost their name. What's the name? The two investigators in the whole thing.
The Warrens?
The Warrens, yes. The trailer makes it look like there's an actual like court case involving them and what they're claiming and all this. And here's the thing, as I have mentioned before, the Warrens are horrific, exploitative charlatans who have ruined lives to make a buck. Like in real life, they are horrible. At best, they're lunatics. But if they're lunatics, they're really lunatics. Much more likely, they are horrible, exploitative fakes who have just destroyed families and ruined lives all in the sake of making a quick buck. And I hate that they're the heroes of this series of films. And I especially hate it if it comes to like a legal thing, because I don't think it's going to be a legal thing where they're like, oh no, you were wrong, you're in trouble now. No, it's going to be, oh my god, they were like, at best it'll be the court won't believe them, but they're really right. I mean, that's the thing. In the Conjuring movies, the Warrens are right. And in reality, the Warrens are not right. They're lying, terrible people. I think they're both dead now. Ed's been dead for a while. I thought the wife is dead too.
Yes, Lorraine died in 2019.
All right. So at least they can't do any more harm. But yeah, that pisses me off about those movies. But they also feel very jump scary to me, which is not a thing I'm into. But it is a weird gap in my otherwise horror movie. No, like to the degree that I've considered watching some of them, because I'm like, they are a big thing in the horror movie zeitgeist, and it's weird that I just haven't seen any of them. But
well, I mean, if I watch horror movies at all, which, as you know, I'm not much of a horror movie watcher, but I have, you know, since my wife is, I've tried to, you know, since Abby is, I've tried to sort of expose myself to other, you know, certain types of films in case maybe I'll like them after all. That pretty much never works out. I pretty much dislike them as much as I thought I would. There is a certain kind of horror movie that, or story in general, that I can really like. And it's kind of probably the best example is a recent one, and that's the Hill House TV series. I mean, there are more historical examples, of course, maybe things that like Hitchcock has done or whatever, but I mean, I can't think of any example in any time period that fits most what I'm going to like and appreciate it outside of the Hill House example. And the Conjuring stuff is really in that kind of vein. I've watched the Insidious ones are also kind of in that vein, but I don't like them as well, even though James Wan is involved in producing them, I guess. But the Conjuring ones, I pretty much like all of them, except the Nun is like, it almost doesn't even seem like it belongs with the rest of them. But all of the rest of them I like, even though some of them are not very well rated, like on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever. But I like them, so we're watching them all before the third one, the Conjuring 3 comes out.
Even the Nun?
Yeah, we did watch The Nun because this was only the second time I'd seen it. I thought, well, maybe if I see it again, sort of in context, it'll be different, but it wasn't. It was pretty much, it didn't really, it's not that.
Sometimes good. It's an expectations thing and it doesn't,
Now, that said, if we ever do this again, like, oh, it's Halloween, let's watch all the Conjuring movies, we'll probably still watch The Nun just as part of the whole thing, but it's easily the weakest, you know, link or there.
Time to take a breath and just make fun.
Well, and I kind of like, I the Vera Farmiga's sister, the younger one, I know her name. I like her, although this isn't a very good role for her.
And it was a super weird acting or casting choice.
Yeah.
Let's cast the younger sister of one of our major people in a role that has no tie to that character at all. But by the way, the sister looks almost exactly the same.
Well, you know, people used to say that, and I thought, well, no, she doesn't. But now it's like, oh, yes, she does. I mean, she looks like a young Vera Farmiga. She does. So it's like, why did you waste? I mean, you could have, if you wanted, you could have some prequel or something with young Lorraine in it.
Right, something, but no.
But you did this instead? It doesn't make any sense.
Vera Farmiga is a great heartbreaker for me. I think she's an incredible actor. And I would say the upper majority of things she's been in have been things that I either didn't like or have no interest in seeing. And it just happens. And the few times it hasn't, or the times that like I've watched something that I didn't like, but I'm like, but I really liked her in it. Like, she's amazing, but she has a knack for picking stuff that I just don't want to go near or that I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I really like her. I like, you know, but she's been in some things that were like that wasn't that great. You know, like the what was the second, wait, what was it?
The
was
second it? Godzilla.
Yeah.
He was in it.
That movie was okay. We saw it again recently, but it was not very good. She was okay in it, but it was like, not that great. And then she was in that one where the guy is going back in the past. I think it was Jake Gyllenhaal was in it. That was a kind of an interesting film. She was in that.
She was in Up in the Air. Which I actually liked that film, but I didn't feel like that was a good part for her.
Well, what have you been doing for your week?
I've been watching movies too. Trish is home this week. Trish took this week off. So she's been around, which has thrown us both kind of for a loop, but it's been nice to have her around. I don't think it had happened yet. I didn't talk about rewatching Dune, did I?
Yes.
I did.
With Trish, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who had never seen it. All right, I don't need to talk about that again. We watched Army of the Dead on Netflix. Again, out of sync with the rest of the world. Everybody's loving it. Everybody's like, Zack Snyder really pulls away from the morose, dour superhero stuff he does and just has some crazy bullshit 80s throwback fun. And I'm like, no, he does not. This is very much a Zack Snyder movie in all the ways that I hate. Not the least of which is that it is long as fuck and has no reason to be long as fuck. I could edit an hour of that out of this instantly. And not only would it not be any worse, it would be better. Like, I could edit an hour out of it and make it make more sense and have more impact. It's ridiculous. Tig Notaro is amazing in this. For those who don't know, Tig Notaro did not film this movie. This movie was filmed with a different actor and comedian named Chris D'Elia, who I used to be a fan of, and then I kind of was less of a fan of, and then some sexual allegations came out and now nobody's a fan of him, including me. But they came out after the movie was shot, and the movie kind of a lot of big set pieces and shit, so it's hard to do reshoots. So they literally digitally put Tig in place of Chris D'Elia everywhere in the movie.
Oh, I thought you were kind of joking about that. I had no idea.
That's a real thing.
Wow.
And if you don't know, and then, like, if you watch it the first time not knowing, you watch the second time, like, be shocked, because you can't tell. If you know beforehand, I could tell, real, like, it's very sneaky how they pull it off. Like you can tell. And there's at least one spot where they forgot to reshoot or overdub one of the lines switching from he to she. But in general, it works. And also, just for me at least, knowing Chris D'Elia, I'm like, this is such, I can tell that this dialogue was written for him. Like, it absolutely feels like a part he would take on. But Tig nails it. Tig does a great job. But yeah, otherwise, fucking hated the movie. And it had a hell of a cast and just not any good. And just weird shit. Although this is a zombie movie, there's a bunch of zombies in it. Couple of times, the zombies are robots. And that is neither addressed, noticed, or explained ever. And I mean, like, legit, like, they shot him in the head and, like, they have glowing eyes and, like, metal skin under and stuff. Like, they're robots. Apparently, this is something that will be explained in later films in the Army of the Dead universe. But, like, the people in the movie didn't even seem to notice. I thought Trish and I were just losing our minds until I watched the pitch meeting for it. And they were like, and some of them are robots. And I was like, yeah, see? this is the thing. It's, I mean, so much throwaway shit in this. So much weird, like, I know it's not supposed to have subtext, but it's Zack fucking Snyder. It has subtext all over the place and has some really horrible messaging in it. I don't like anyone. It, you know, like, it's and it's so fucking long and it makes no fucking sense. And the action's not worth it. There are some kind of cool fight scenes, but they're not enough to warrant it. Like, sometimes you get that in a movie. Well, like you talked about with Godzilla versus Kong, you're like, the action scenes are worth the stupid human stuff. not true in this at all. And whole bunch of people disagree. The whole world disagrees with me. Nobody's like, this is an amazing film, but everyone's like, this was fun. And I'm like, no, it was not. I'm very sorry to have wasted my time on.
Abby is so against Zack Snyder. I don't think even the zombies get her to watch it. And you know how much she likes her zombie stuff.
Yeah, now, see, and I fucking hate zombies. So when I saw, but I also hate Zack Snyder.
When I saw that Tig was in it, I thought, oh, well, this, well, maybe this is going to be worth watching, but I don't know. I don't know if we'll watch it.
It tipped the balance into me actually watching.
Yeah.
So wait, I didn't know Abby was so anti-Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
I like her even better now. So does that mean she doesn't watch the Zack Snyder DC movies with you, or she just does because she loves you and she just sits there grinding her teeth?
That last one. Well, yeah. I mean,
if for some reason Trish made me do that, that might ruin our marriage. I mean, and here's the thing. Zack Snyder's made a zombie movie before, and it sucked also. He did the remake of Day of the Dead.
Well, now, to be fair,
it was also shit.
Abby likes DC also. I mean, she, you know, that's a big...
So you're stuck.
Yeah. And I don't, but that's a good question I hadn't thought of. Does she like zombies more than DC? Because if she does, then she actually might be interested in watching this. But I don't
possibly.
Think I don't know if she does like zombies more than DC.
Did you make her watch Sucker Punch?
Well, I didn't know. We did watch it, but I didn't make her watch it. I don't know why we watched it actually. We didn't like it. It didn't seem like our kind of thing. You know what? I think someone suggested. Someone said, well, it's not. Someone said it's not really what it looks like in previews or whatever. But then it was exactly like what it looked like in previews. So
well, and to the degree that it wasn't, I wish it had been.
Yeah, I think we like, somehow we got the message.
But that's been coming up recently. Apparently, there's such a thing as the Snyder Cut of Sucker Punch. Because apparently he also had to, well, not that it really exists, but he had to make changes he wouldn't have made because of the studio and whatever.
Well, okay. So, I mean, we watched the whole Justice League thing again We like, you know, we want to see more Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, for one thing. And it, as I explained, it was only better in a very specific way of context. It wasn't better in the, oh, this is not thick with Zack Snyder BS, because it still had that. I mean, it was still bad for that reason. Yeah. If you don't like Zack Snyder garbage, you're not going to like this. And it
had the benefit of having 4 hours that could put stuff in. And let's be totally honest, all this, it was my vision all along, bullshit aside, it had the benefit of knowing what people hated about the first one and being able to fix some of those things.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to break it to you, y'all, except I think I've done it before. George Lucas did not have 9 episodes in his head when A New Hope came out.
Nope.
Not even close.
I mean, he did have an idea that he was starting in the middle of his vague idea, but it was still a vague idea. And he just put that chapter stuff at the front because that's what he was used to seeing at the serials. And he thought, oh, this will be cool.
So, well, except it wasn't in the first run, was it? In 77, it didn't say chapter 4.
Oh, I believe it did.
In 77, I thought it was just called Star Wars.
No.
I don't think A New Hope came around until later.
No, I'm pretty...
Absolutely defer to your Star Wars
expertise. To begin with, I'm pretty sure they did call it A New Hope. But if not, they at least called it Chapter 4 or whatever, because that was kind of a big deal even at the time, when I remember it. Let's see here. Because I have the annotated screenplay right here.
I don't believe it. It's a liar.
What?
Tell me what Wikipedia says, then I got you.
Oh, well, and since this is annotated, maybe it's everything is, because, you know, he even wanted to get rid of, like, he didn't even want people to be able to watch the original cut, the original theatrical cuts. Like, he wanted to get rid of them.
Yes, I know.
That's weird, right?
Oh, yes. Especially given some of the speeches he made in actual court depositions, talking about how once a movie was made and was out there, it was out of the auteur's hand anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
He literally had, there's film of him giving speeches, basically decrying himself years before. Like, straight up. Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's like, what I remember as a kid was it saying something like chapter 4 or part 4 or whatever. It could be the New Hope thing was added later, but I kind of remember that too, but it could be one of those, your memory sort of fills it in.
Well, I was born the year it came out. So my memory on that time period is a little fuzzy.
It definitely said.
And also I deferred to your expertise in the subject. So anyway, we should draw a question, or else this is a big problem.
I didn't mean to mess up your.
Hey, I brought up Star Wars. It's my own fault.
Looking for this thing. All right, I'll put this back.
You're usually very opposed to looking things up during the podcast. So
well, except my bookshelf is right here, and it's.
That's not my fault. You put it there.
I know. It's got so many cool books.
All right. Too. This is from Craig. This is a question that has been a long time coming.
Okay.
Have you discussed exploding head syndrome yet? If not, please do so.
Do you really want me to do this? Because I don't have to waste your time talking about this.
I mean, for starters, it's not me. It's Craig.
I know, but...
Okay. Here's the thing. Well, okay. As you recall, you said it, and I was like, what the fuck? That's insane. Tell me about it. And then you did, and I was like, okay, it's not that interesting. But you just did that for me, not for the listeners. So the listeners are still in the point where they're like, what the hell is this? Oh, my God. They're going to be disappointed, but they need it to know.
Okay.
They can't just go through life like thinking we just didn't tell them about a really cool thing where your head blows up. As disillusioning as it's going to be, I feel like
they deserve it. It's kind of like explaining a magic trick. You're like, oh, that's all.
And the real answer is Exploding Head Syndrome is kind of a boring thing that had a really good PR person working on it. The branding is solid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some people, and I'm one of these people. Now, when I talk about this, I'm mostly going to be talking about my own experience. Like, if you look stuff up online, it might be a little different than what I'm saying, but understand that not everybody experiences this phenomena the same way. So I'm mostly going from my experience. But one of the things that's fairly common, if you do look it up, is some people, when they're usually as they're falling asleep, that's usually when it happens. I think it's happened to me some other times too, but usually you're falling asleep and you will, oh God, it's so hard to describe because it's not an auditory hallucination as I understand them. Auditory hallucinations, like visual hallucinations, are things that you think are happening out in the world, right? You think you heard it out over there or whatever. This is a thing you hear, but it's more like, you know how when you plug your ears and you talk, you kind of hear your voice as it resonating inside your head? Does that make any sense? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just saying it sounds like it's coming from inside your head.
It sounds like it's coming from inside your head. That's right. Your ears don't really hear it, but they kind of do. I don't know. You just hear it in there. It's like it. You know that it's coming from inside your head.
That happens. I mean, there's the headphones that you put right here and they vibrate through your bones. I mean, there's a lot of audio stuff there that's not your ears.
Sure. So, and it can sound like lots of different things. For example, it can sound like a voice. So sometimes it's my dad yelling my name or my sister yelling my name. Don't know why. It can sound like a literal explosion. Most recently, though, it sounds like electricity. And you can, and I've actually been able to find sound effects that sound like it. Like it'll go zzz, pop, like that. You know, like electricity can do.
Like a Tesla coil.
Yeah, it'll be just like that. Except you can almost feel it and not just hear it. But you don't really feel anything. It just sort of, I don't know. It's just a sound that's in there. And of some people who report having this experience, they also report going through, you know, certain stresses in their life. Like there's something is causing anxiety and stress in their life. And that goes for me. Most of the time this happens, something stressful's going on. And the most recent, I actually texted you or something or emailed you the last time it happened.
You did.
How long ago was that?
I don't remember. It's been a while. It's been
a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's happened since then. You know, when it happened, when I texted you, this was like, I know for a fact school hadn't started yet, but I'd already applied and I was thinking about how I was going to apply.
And it was specifically when you were trying to get to sleep, you would get it.
Yeah. Right. So, and I, you know, some people experience something when they're about to go, like another thing I've experienced when I'm about to sleep is like, I'll start having a dream about falling from a great height or something. And then I'll jolt, you know, about the time I'm supposed to land, I'll jolt awake.
I get that. Well, mine's usually I'm dreaming and I slip in the dream and my body goes like this and I wake up.
Right. So it's really that kind of thing. It's just, instead of being, you jolt awake or whatever, you're kind of brought awake by this sound that seems like it's coming from inside your head.
And because it's called syndrome, I'm guessing that means they don't have any idea what's causing.
Yeah, they call it a syndrome because, yes, they don't know. And
they're like, this happens to people. We don't know why, or if it's the same thing, or we have proof it happens.
Right, and they have, and they also suspect that there's like several things that are that are go along with it. It happens maybe several different reasons or whatever. Now, when I've researched it, I've discovered that a lot of people that experience it are really troubled by it. Like that's a very, it's a thing that people will go into the ER for. It's like, oh my gosh, I had this experience and it's really scared me. But it happened to me several times without me feeling particularly anxious about it. I don't even know why. I think actually I finally found out what it was called and all this other stuff completely by accident.
Like, I have that.
Yeah. Somehow it came up in some feed or something. Like, oh yeah, that happens to me.
It's like when I found out that nobody's ears roar when they yawn.
Oh yeah. Mine don't.
Nope. It's like only like a third of people. And for some reason, most of the people I know, it's not a thing. It's a, like I yawn and I can't hear. And that I've always been thrown by this. I assumed everybody had this and somebody would be saying something and I would yawn and I would miss part of it because this roaring was happening. And I'd be like, sorry, can you say that again? I was yawning. And sometimes they look at me really weird when I say that. And now I understand why. I spent like 40 years thinking this happened to everybody.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. I kind of accidentally go, oh, okay. So yeah, this has happened to me. Yeah. I think when I was a kid, I had so many experiences that I decided even at the time were like fake. Like I just imagined it. And, you know, I've even talked on the podcast very early in the podcast. I talked about these experiences I had that were very powerful psychological experiences that some people might've interpreted as supernatural, but that I didn't. So I'm really used to having experiences that are weird and not really thinking.
This whole podcast is fake. I died 25 years ago on this very night.
So yeah, I'm not really used to making a, you know, if I have some kind of mental experience, I don't really usually think very much of it.
I do want to rescind what I said about them having a good marketing and branding department, now that I realized they could have called it talking head syndrome.
Talking head syndrome?
Yeah, because you said sometimes it's a voice you hear.
Oh, yeah, it is sometimes, yep.
That's a way cooler name.
It is?
Yes. It's awesome musical group. It's a thing that we get on the news a lot now. Like, it's funnier and it's cooler. Like, totally, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost never a voice anymore. Although,
and then everybody'd be like, well, yeah, my head talks. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't, it hasn't happened for a while, which I think is a good sign because it means I'm probably less stressed out about whatever. I'm probably sleeping better. So it's probably a good sign it hasn't happened.
I would say in general.
But there was a time there.
The less your head explodes, the more. The better.
There was a time there where it was happening like almost every night, you know, at least one, I'd have one episode where I was just about to fall asleep. Then I'd have the exploding head thing. And then I'd be awake for a little while longer.
But I mean, there have been times in your life where I've had exploding head syndrome because it was so stressful. Like, yeah, no, I get it.
So I'm sorry, Craig, that it's not probably nearly as interesting as you.
But now, you know, like, yeah, I mean, they've all been sitting wondering. Because I know how I felt before I knew it. Then you told me. I was like, eh. But yeah, it's interesting nonetheless. I did forget to mention earlier, last night, I made Trish watch the original Black Christmas, the 1974 film with Olivia Hussey and Margot Kidder and Andrea Martin and a bunch of people. Arguably the first ever slasher. And has a lot of things in it that became tropes in the slasher genre that that show up for the first time. It's arguably because the first well-known mainstream success slasher movie was Halloween. And Halloween got it. They got their inspiration. Carpenter got his inspiration from Black Christmas. And in fact, Halloween was meant to be one of like an anthology. He imagined an anthology of films, and the first one is Black Christmas at Christmas, and then this was at Halloween, and then there would be other ones, and that didn't happen though.
Like Twisted Easter and
exactly Thanksgiving, which is actually a movie. Like you could do it now, but and it's like Trish is like, is it a good movie? I'm like, it's not. It's a 1974 low budget indie Canadian horror film. Like, it's a good one of those. It's arguably the best 1974 low budget indie Canadian horror film.
Is it supposed to be funny?
No.
Did you say Andrea Martin was in it though?
Yes, an incredibly young Andrea Martin. Not funny at all. And then actually when the really shitty 2006 remake, she came back as the sorority house mother in that one. And then they made a 2019 remake that went in a whole different direction, but apparently it was not bad, but I don't want to see it. But this one, she's just a baby. I looked her up. She did a couple of like low budget horror things before she started it, like before SCTV and all that. Yeah, it's really weird to see her like college age Andrea Martin. But it not only, yeah, you get a lot of things from it. There are a lot of things it did well that the genre went on to do horribly. Like there's a lot of shit in the beginning that is way better. It's also kind of feminist in its, I mean, for what it is and for its time. No sex or nudity in the whole thing. And there's a bunch of the women who are the primary cast have a surprising amount of agency and are frequently at odds with the male characters in the movie. But the movie is very upfront about the fact that the male characters suck slash are wrong about most things. And so it does it really well. And there's like weird shit, like, part of the plot line involves getting these obscene phone calls. And the first one is very dirty. It's just all the sex talk or whatever. And in most films, this kind of thing gets sort of played off as like a joke kind of whatever. You get this very long tracking shot. All the girls in the house are listening to the line and they all are just stricken. And like, it's a realistic, in my opinion, sort of betrayal of like, yeah, this is scary. That this random person is calling it, and it's not threatening stuff at that point, it's just, you know, gross stuff, but like it treats it with sort of the seriousness that it needs. There's a whole pretty cool subplot involving abortion that is treated, I think, well. I don't know Canada's history with abortion, but there's issues there, and but I think it treats it well. John Saxon also is in this. It's a heck of a movie. It you're gonna have a hard time finding it. It might be on Amazon. You can buy it if you've got Shudder. It's there, and I think one of the weird streaming services that's free but with ads or whatever has the broadcast version, and I cannot believe what that looks like, because although there is no sex or nudity, there's a ton of swearing and a fair bit of violence. Go figure. So anyway, let me check that out. I'm sorry to not end on Exploding Head Syndrome, but I did want to throw that in there because I watched it again and it's impressive. It's impressive for what it is. And it makes sense as a progenitor to the slasher genre. Interesting. More people should learn from it. If you've been killing people in the sorority house lately, let us know about it on the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. We got some really good discussion about lemon lime soda and things while back there. I learned about new ones I hadn't known about. So get on and tell us about your personal experiences with heads exploding. Or if you saw Army of the Dead, I'll bet some of you saw Army of the Dead. Tell me why it's better than I think it is. Also, did you see the robots? There's at least twice where you can very see the robots. But it's sneaky like that. Also, listen again next week, like you do. And if you pay me money fast enough, we're getting together next week at IHOP. So if you pay me quick enough, I won't record it without William's consent. All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.